Live from the Bay Area, the center of the universe, it's the Progressive News on Green 960.
Scared at all. Yes, here I am, stuck in the middle with you. And there's no place I'd rather be. You're listening to the Progressive News on Green 960 with Brad Friedman sitting in for John Scott. I am, yes, that Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. The troublemaking, muckraking citizen journalist blogger, happy to be in here while John Scott is overseas. I understand, somewhere in the Mediterranean, Sicily. Is that in the Mediterranean? Oh, okay, good. That's where John Scott is, and I'll be sitting in for 2 hours today. Glad you can join us. We got a hella good show, I think, ahead. Got Naomi Wolf coming up, discussing the creeping fascism that's moving into our country and her book, The End of America. We're also going to speak about, speaking of creeps and creeping, Republican presidential cowards. Yes, cowards. Cowards also like Rush Limbaugh. Cowards like Bill O'Reilly and those folks who have turned us into a bedwetting nation. We're also going to talk with John Gideon, get a voter update, daily voting news update. Find out what's going on with our voting system around the nation. Our own Desi Doyen with another Green News update at some point today. And before we do all of that, we're going to toss it over to our now good friend Sebastian Kunz in the Green 960 newsroom with the news update. Oh, Sebas, how are you today?
Brad, happy Friday to you.
Thank you, and to you, my friend.
Well, thank you. It was maybe less of a good Friday for our friend Norman Hsu, the well-known Democratic fundraiser. He's behind bars after a brief court appearance this morning. During a hearing that lasted only a few minutes, the now disgraced fundraiser was ordered to return to court in November. Besides a handful of local charges, the 56-year-old Hsu is also facing a separate federal case alleging he cheated investors out of at least $60 million. And if he's convicted, he faces a maximum of 20 years in prison on each charge, 5 years on a campaign finance charge, too.
Hey, Seabass, why is it that when a Democrat like that breaks the law, a Democratic fundraiser, they're in jail in about 5 minutes.
But when it's a Republican, he's just a good businessman?
Yeah, apparently. And it takes months and months and years, and you got to fire people at the DOJ and now
all that money goes to now some charity, I guess. I hadn't heard about that.
It's as if the Republicans have an in or something. Maybe they know someone somewhere.
Maybe. Well, here's a sort of semi-related election story. There's trouble ahead for the effort to change the kind of winner-take-all electoral voting system here in the state of California. Our reporter, Green 960's John Rivers, has it.
The controversial effort to change the way California's electoral votes are awarded in presidential elections may have stumbled badly, fatally. There is word this morning that the veteran political law attorney who drafted that measure resigned abruptly from the committee, as has the campaign spokesman. Now, both have close ties to Governor Schwarzenegger. Insiders say fundraising for that campaign has been a major disappointment, falling far short of the $2 million needed for any petition drive.
So we're going to have to see what goes on in the electoral vote debate there.
Good. That's big and good news.
It really is.
It really is.
And I think combine that with some redistricting, maybe we might have something to be said for the folks up in Sacramento.
That's one dirty trick done for 2008, about 100 more to go.
We're baby steps. steps. Yep. Baby steps. It's the week for worker strikes here in the Bay Area. The nationwide auto workers strike ended after 2 days, of course. Security guards of SEIU 24/7 ended their strike after 4 days. Now the California Nurses Association says 5,500 nurses plan to strike next month. The nurses' contract expired last week. Negotiations have stalled, and on October 10th and 11th, they will be picketing instead of working. It's hospitals in the Sutter Health Chain and Fremont Rideout Health Group that are going to be targeted on October 10th and 11th next month. And if you have recently applied for a job at The Gap, at Old Navy or Banana Republic, and by recently, I mean the past year or so, watch your bank account. San Francisco-based clothing retailer says social security numbers and other private data from people who applied online and via phone for jobs at Gap, Old Navy, or Banana Republic were all on a laptop that got stolen from the offices of a third-party information vendor. The information was not encrypted, according to the company, although there is more than one company that does this for the Gap, so not every applicant's data was stolen. You might want to check if you remember that you applied for a job at one of those clothing stores in the past year or so.
Diebold, do they run that computer system?
It was not named in the news story that I consulted. I don't think so. It sounded just like one of those kind of software companies that has a mysterious Latin name that nobody really understands. It didn't sound like a major name I recognized, but it's possible with this going on more and more that everybody ought to be checking their bank account.
Yeah, they should.
Fairly frequently.
And in the meantime, we'll just run our election system on those same computers. But don't mind me. Press on, CBS.
Hey, we've been discussing the voting machines up here in the Bay Area as well.
Yep.
Finally, this Friday afternoon, if your data isn't in enough places, what about instead of paying for your parking meter like this, you instead paid for your parking meters like this? See, there's a pilot program underway in the city. It's been going actually in San Francisco for a few weeks. You call a number on the parking meter with your cell phone, set up your account, give them your credit card info, and you have paid for your parking meter. And get this, how about a text message sent to your text message-enabled phone to clue you in your meter's about to expire? You can even add more time without running out to your car. The only minor snag, a small fee for the transaction. There's three companies doing this. One does it for 35 cents per use, one does it for $5 a month, and one offers the service free. And the San Francisco MTA is seeking customer comments on the new system. Looking at Bay Area weather for your weekend, fewer clouds tomorrow, more sun, slightly warmer than today, temperatures on the rise by the start of the work week, highs this weekend 60s to low 70s, next week low to mid 70s, some low clouds and fog in the city. Right now, San Jose 68 degrees, so does Palo Alto, 63 in Oakland, and here at Green 960, south of Market, San Francisco, it's 64. I'm Sebastian Kuhns with Brad Friedman in for John Scott this Friday afternoon here on Green 960.
Hey, thanks, Sebastian. By the way, we talked last night before the Republican debate about what was going on out there. Did you get a chance to watch that debate?
No, I heard some highlights today, though, from Huckabee and who was the other guy that did show up?
There was Huckabee, Brownback, Alan Keyes, a bunch of them. The ones who didn't show up, those are the ones we really need to point out. That would
True.
Be Giuliani. McCain.
Romney.
And Thompson,
the TV guy. Have you heard about this shtick that Giuliani has with his wife calling him on his cell phone during speeches? Apparently, it's been happening at more than one speech, so it's not just a coincidence. It's some kind of bit to make him seem a little more, relatable or something. But I've now read like three or four different appearance speeches to the NRA or whoever. His cell phone goes off in the middle of it, and he answers it. Oh, hi, honey. You want to talk to the NRA? And
I saw that with the NRA. Actually, I was watching it live when he was talking to them on C-SPAN. And so that's a scam? Just another scam?
A scam? I don't know about scam, but it does appear to be some sort of bit or more. It's like Hillary laughing on all five shows on Sunday, just laughing kind of maniacally if you watch the Jon Stewart show.
Yeah, that was kind of odd, too.
That was almost frightening. It was almost Jack Nicholson-esque.
I call it a scam. Why can't you just show up, tell us what you're about, and move on? Why do you need these tricks? And, by the way, speaking of that California election initiative, mm-hmm. we hear it was a Giuliani funder who seems to have somehow mysteriously been behind it.
Well, isn't that interesting?
Yes. Maybe it was his wife.
Maybe.
Hey, thank you, Sebastian. We'll talk to you at the top of the next hour.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Sebastian. All right, we're going to come back with Naomi Wolf here real shortly, but I want to remind you we've got an open thread going on at bradblog.com. Did I mention I'm the blogger from there? Yeah. That's the guy. Did I say that? Yeah. Okay. Just so you know. Keep our Agent 99 company. She's hosting the open thread there today. We're also going again to try to take your calls. 866-960-5753. That's 866-960-5753. If you have a question for Naomi Wolf and the creeping fascism in America. Naomi is right ahead. Stay with us. You're listening to Progressive News on Green 960 with Brad Friedman, in for John Scott.
Hey there, it's John Scott. The Progressive News is on a Sicilian vacation. We'll see you back on October 11th. Filling in for us, Brad Friedman from Brad Blog on Green 960.
Oh, yes, it is. And we are covering it here on Green 960. Speaking with Naomi Wolf momentarily. I wanted to point you folks to Victoria Parks. She's singing.
And that's every day.
That's Victoria Parks from her new CD, Duhmocracy, D-U-H-mocracy. You can check it out at victoriaparks.com from Victrola and the Dust Bunnies. We enjoy that. We're going to have more of Vicky Parks a little bit later on today, but I couldn't help but play that song to lead into Naomi Wolf, whose book, The End of America, A Letter of Warning to a Young Patriot, is now out and available and scary as hell. Naomi, welcome to the Progressive News.
Thank you, Brad. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. I appreciate what you've done here, and I want to outline, you outline the as you call it, the blueprint for fascism in the end of America, and the classic 10 classic steps to closing down a democracy. And I want to get to some of those steps, but before I do, when did you notice this, we'll call it creeping fascism, Agent 99 over at the chat room calls it swooshing fascism, but when did you notice what we were dealing with here?
That's a great question, Brad, because the point about a democracy that is being closed down systematically is that it doesn't happen in a coup, it happens at first gradually, and then suddenly, and we're starting to reach this tipping point, it starts to swoosh, as your friend said, or I feel like right now we're hurtling toward fascism.
And, indeed.
I guess I started to notice in the details of news events, you know, what was it about stories that they were burning piles of CDs by the Dixie Chicks that sounded so familiar? Why did the word homeland sound so familiar? What was there about, you know, scenes of identically dressed young men who turned out to be Republican staffers menacing people counting the vote that seemed to resonate? And I wrote the book then because I have a dear friend who's a daughter of Holocaust survivors, and she kept saying, they did this in Germany, they did this in Germany. I thought she was really, you know, over the top. But she forced me to sit down and start reading history. And what she was talking about was the early years, and I began to see, you know, when Germany was a parliamentary democracy, which people don't remember, and it, you know, was coming under sort of incremental attack by people who had been, you know, legally elected, who were systematically doing things like dismantling the Constitution. And my hair just stood on end as I started to read, because it was clear that these were more than echoes. And then I started to read other closing societies, like Italy in the 20s. I mentioned Germany in the 30s, East Germany in the 50s, Czechoslovakia in the 60s, the coup in Chile in 1973, and finally China's crackdown in 1989. And what was clear, Brad, is that there is a blueprint. There are 10 things would-be dictators always do when they're seeking to close down a democracy or to crush a democracy movement, and we are seeing each of those in America.
And I want to hit some of those in a moment, but the reason I ask about when you began to notice this is because I'll tell you, at my blog when I was writing, I used to have commenters who would come in, talk about, sort of like was it your cousin you said who was talking about these things?
A family friend,
you know, who would talk about a fascist state, authoritarianism, totalitarianism, and I thought, these guys are crazy. I love them. They're my commenters at Brad Blog, but they're just way over the top. Then I turn on our old friend Mike Malloy over on Air America, and he would be talking about, you know, the Bush crime family and the fascist takeover, and I thought they were nuts. And then I realize now they were right. I was wrong. I was slow to get it. So I'm wondering how long it sort of took you to get it, and then as well, how long did it take your publisher to get it? How long was it before you were able to go to a publisher and say, hey, I have a book charging that we're trending into fascism here?
Yeah, and I really want to stress this. It's, at this point, it isn't a trend. I mean, when I started writing a year ago, it was a trend, but now we're at this these series of tipping points.
You see, I'm still conservative. I'm saying it's trending. You're right.
Well, you know, when this kid gets tasered in Florida, mm-hmm. and I've got a whole chapter on how state universities, like the one he got tasered in, are subject to political pressure from state legislatures, you know, that's a tipping point. When you make it legal for the state to put any one of us in solitary confinement for 3 years because the president says he has the power to call anyone an enemy combatant, you know, that's a tipping point. So to answer your question, I may be using those terms differently than the people that you're describing. You know, I try very hard not to use any language or even any examples rhetorically. I'm very conservative in my presentation. So I'm not saying, oh, my God, they're fascists. I'm not doing that. I'm actually literally using it technically. Technically, the dictionary definition of fascism, well, there are several, but the one I'm using from the dictionary is when the state starts to turn state violence against the individual in an effort to turn back democracy. And there's no question that our state is doing that now. And I also talk about something I call a fascist shift. And again, I'm using that really conservatively, very, very much just looking at history and offering the evidence to readers. There are literally, you know, these case studies in history where you had a vibrant or at least a, you know, functioning democracy. And then when you see like 30 and 40 close parallels, not just in tactics, but in like the language they're using, the scenes and images they're using. When you compare Leni Riefenstahl's, you know, film Triumph of the Will with the imagery of Mission Accomplished, when you, you know, see that they're using like the same sound bites, you know, the Jews were hiding in mouse holes and, you know, Saddam Hussein is in spider holes and, you know, there are these historical fingerprints that just leap off the page. And
And you're right. It's not.
I let the reader decide for themselves if you know there's something to be concerned about.
And you're right. We're speaking with Naomi Wolf, author of The End of America, A Letter of Warning to a Young Patriot. And you're right. It's not just the administration, but it's all the building blocks, it seems, of society. The media. The media has played into this. The society has played into this. You mentioned the word homeland. You're right. Tell us about that word, because that boy, when that came out after 9/11, I thought, where the hell did that come from? Homeland Security? Creepy.
Well, you know, 1930, in the early 1930s, the National Socialists, who we tend to forget were legally elected and then systematically dismantled civil society, started to use very rhetorically charged words like homeland, Heimat, and there are a bunch of other stuff they did that we're seeing now. You know, they used to embed reporters, for instance. They innovated that. Goebbels was the great innovator, and, you know, we know that we embed reporters. And there are scenes, like there's a scene in William Shearer's diary of, you know, they brought him in, the Gestapo brought him in, and they showed him copies of telegrams he'd sent his editor at his newspaper in the United States. And I just got an email from someone in the civil service who was called in by their superior, and they showed him copies of, you know, stuff that he had emailed.
Wow.
And, yeah, you know, they unload coffins at night in Germany. They unload coffins at night in the United States. I don't want to, like, chill you with these echoes, but these are not the important ones. The important ones really are these 10 key steps, because everything else follows from that. I mean, you know, the first thing that every would-be dictator always does is invoke a terrifying internal and external threat, Brad, and very often the threat can be real. Stalin talked about sleeper cells. Now you may, you know, recognize that term. That was an invented threat, but Pinochet talked about a real threat. There really were armed insurgents. But he used fake documents, Plan Z to say that they were going to attack, you know, ordinary Chileans, and we've had fake documents used to hide the threat. You know, the second thing, and I'll only give you, you know, three more because it's scary enough. The second thing would be dictators always do is they create a secret prison system where torture takes place.
We would never do that.
Right.
We would never do that. You know what? Hold one of those. Yeah. I want to come back with some more of this, and I want to take your calls if you'd like to talk to Naomi Wolf, author of The End of America, Letter of Warning to a Young Patriot. Give us a call at 866-960-5753. More Naomi Wolf ahead, and oh, so much more. You're listening to the Progressive News on Green 60 with Brad Friedman, in for John Scott. Stay with us.
Hey, this is fun. I get to be the announcer for my own show, filling in for me while I'm on vacation, the fabulous Brad Friedman on Green 960.
All right, we're rocking in the free world here. At least it's still free for the moment. Speaking with Naomi Wolf, author of The End of America, Letter of Warning to a Young Patriot, about the 10 classic steps to closing down a democracy. She says they're underway. We don't necessarily disagree. We'd like to hear from you, 866-960-5753. Naomi, has there been blowback since you published this? Have you become the target of the usual wingnuts out there who want to call you crazy and moon batty and everything else?
Well, I'm sure people are saying all kinds of things, but I haven't. I've been extraordinarily surprised, actually, because I thought it would be kind of this bombshell and that people would be going, oh my God, you can't say that. But in fact, the opposite is what's happening. What I'm hearing, and really it's across the political spectrum, because this is such an issue that transcends right and left. I mean, yep. This is about the founders and their vision of checks and balances. What I'm hearing from Republicans, libertarians, you know, progressives is basically, thank you, you have confirmed, like, everybody knows that, or a lot of Americans know that something scary is happening, and they've been following threads like the FISA story or the tasering story or the, you know, the enemy combatant story. But what the blueprint does is it sort of makes everything snap into place, and it makes you see, oh my gosh, you know, this is a whole other ballgame, and we need a different set of tactics.
And
so
give
us a lot of support from unexpected places.
Give us one of those. I want to get to some callers. 866-960-5753. Give us another one of those classic steps.
Another one of the steps, sure. The third thing you do, I kind of hate to do this because they just, by the time you get to six, you're pale. But no, really,
don't scare me.
The good news,
Naomi,
is there's a lot we can do. We can still save the country, but we have to wake up right now. All right. The third thing they do is they develop a paramilitary force that's not answerable to the people.
Blackwater,
of course, has been in the news, had a slap on the wrist for shooting civilians in Iraq at will. But most Americans don't know that they are now in the United States. The Department of Homeland Security, which has close ties with Blackwater, has deployed Blackwater contractors to Hurricane Katrina, to New Orleans. And there are reports in Jeremy Scahill's book of contractors, not necessarily Blackwater, but independent contractors, firing on civilians in New Orleans. And Blackwater's business model is to expand operations. They just got a $15 billion contract to expand their operations here in the United States in the event of, you know, a natural disaster or a public emergency. And there's a new law, the 2007 Defense Authorization Act, which lets the president basically say there's a public emergency. We need to restore public
emergency. Exactly. The president has made executive orders that he can declare a public emergency. He can declare anyone to be an enemy combatant. We've now built these camps. Halliburton, I understand, is building camps. You got Blackwater ready to guard them.
I've heard rumors about that, but I haven't reported that out. Where are these camps?
Oh, yeah. No, they've got a contract, and I've seen this report. I think it was Washington Post or L.A. Times. We can go back and try to find it. But I've seen this. They have the contract. They're supposed to be detention camps in the event of an emergency, something like that.
All right.
Yeah, sorry. I figured you were making me pale. I wanted to scare you, Naomi.
No, I had heard
it's the
of
least
this.
I could
you
do.
You know how you can like you have to like pace yourself when,
yes.
when what you've seen is so appalling, and there's just one more appalling thing. But nothing surprises me anymore. I mean, you won't believe this, but they pack the detainees, according to Michael Ratner of the Center for Constitutional Rights, who represents the detainees, a very credible guy. The reports from the detainees are when they're rounded up for bounties that range up to $5,000, most of them innocent people in Afghanistan, they are packed into shipping containers. It, you know, packed the way they packed us into boxcars.
Yeah, sounds familiar. In a word, out of the 10 classic steps, how many have we now?
Oh, I better tell you number 4, create a surveillance apparatus aimed at ordinary citizens.
All right, so we know we've got 4.
5.
Huh?
5, arbitrarily detain and release citizens. You've heard of the Transportation Security Administration watch list, right?
Well, yep.
And the no-fly list. Well, I actually, you know, you asked about blowback. I was on the watch list. I'm a short Jewish girl from New York. I don't, you know what terrorist profile I fit. And, you know, every single time I got on a plane, I would get a quadruple S top risk, you know, security mark on my boarding pass. And
was that before or after you had this book contract, Naomi?
Before.
Okay.
But, you know, when I invest and someone said when they were searching me, you're on the list. And I reported to that, and it turns out that Richard Murphy, top constitutional scholar at Princeton, who gave a speech critical of Bush's assault on the Constitution, was put on the list. Two guys from the ACLU are on the list. Little old ladies who published something called War Times, an anti-war newsletter, are on the list. So people like you and me are being put on the list. And this is a classic fascist tactic to detain and release citizens. And the detention is getting extremely scary because I'm getting reports from the internet, people have emailed me reports that across the country, people waiting in line, ordinary Americans waiting in security lines, suddenly the TSA comes out and goes freeze, and these people have to freeze there in the security line for up to half an hour and not move.
Are you
and,
serious?
I swear to God. And this one young woman, this was reported in the New York Times, who was taken aside by the TSA and then returned to her native country. She lives in Oakland. She's a professor at Mills College. They told her that if she moves, they told her to freeze, and if she moves, they will consider it an assault on the agent questioning her.
Unbelievable.
So it is ratcheting up so fast.
It is. I know you got to travel here tonight, so I got to let you go shortly. I could talk to you all night about this, believe me. Let me get in a quick call here. Chris, on line one, you've got a question for Naomi Wolf.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Naomi. I wonder if you did any research in the course of doing your book and getting ready for it as to how long it usually takes for countries to run the cycle to get out of a fascist state once they're into it. I mean, regardless, if you're not considering outside sources like World War II or something, you bring Europe out. And also, I was listening to Tom Hartman, and he put forth the notion that he believes that our democracy and our constitutional rights are so ingrained in us genetically as Americans that he's pretty confident that couldn't happen here. I want to believe what he said, but everything you say is so hauntingly frightening that it's hard. It's re-encouraging, but it's not. It doesn't put your mind completely at ease.
Thanks for the call, Chris.
So these are great questions. They're both terrific questions. Thank you so much. So the first, let me answer the second one first. You know, the founders didn't think the way we do about democracy. The founders, and I was surprised to learn this because I hadn't studied it deeply, you know, until now. They wrote the Bill of Rights in a state of dread and fear because they knew, they totally believed in their bones that an American despot could easily arise in America to oppress Americans. They had come from, you know, tyrannical states where people, you know, threw people in jail for criticizing the crown and tortured Quakers. What's that?
Well, I don't know. That's interesting. That's not us.
Anymore. Okay. And they were terrified. They knew it could happen here, in other words. That's why they set up the system of checks and balances as they did. So they totally didn't want us to think, oh, it's in our DNA. We don't need to worry about it. They totally wanted us to understand that democracy is fragile and that human nature is to abuse power if power is unchecked.
But, Naomi, didn't we do the same thing? Didn't we suspend habeas? Didn't Abraham Lincoln, somewhat devil's advocate here, didn't Abraham Lincoln suspend habeas corpus during the Civil War?
Absolutely.
What's different now?
Just to get to, I need to answer the other thing because I don't want him to have nightmares. If you go to the end of the book, you'll see that the good news is when millions of people wake up in time and engage in a democracy movement, they can topple tyrants very quickly. Just like democracy closes down very quickly when it reaches a certain point, if people push back, but it takes millions, you know, thousands or hundreds of thousands and millions, then tyrants can be overthrown very quickly. When I wrote this book, I wasn't even thinking about impeachment. Now I think, looking at the historical record, impeachment is not adequate. What we have to do quickly, and it takes a transpartisan effort, and I think Republicans are scared after they've read The End of America, as Democrats are, judging from the historical record, we have to follow the impeachment of both Bush and Cheney with prosecution for treason.
God love you, Naomi.
And then we can restore our country.
God love you. And just to hit that other question, was this done? Have we ever seen anything like this in the history of this country? I referred back to Lincoln.
Great question, Brad. And the answer is yes, but no. Yes, there were times of repression, like the stripping of habeas corpus in the Civil War and the internment of the Japanese Americans in World War II, and you know the red baiting HUAC hearings of McCarthy. The difference with now, two differences. Bruce Fine points this out, and he's a conservative who's horrified and has started an organization.
Ron Reagan's former Treasury Secretary, I believe.
Exactly. He says, and he's right, that the pendulum can't swing the way it's always done because those conflicts had endpoints. The wars ended. And so people could take a breath and say, okay, that went too far. But this war, quote unquote, has been defined as open-ended in time. There will never be an end to the war on terror, as they've defined it, and global in scope. The whole globe is a battlefield. So there will never be a surrender date, A. B, the other reason it's not like other times is that we never tortured people before, and we never had the enemy combatant law before. And so, you know, the point I make in the book is that when people start to get hurt or imprisoned abusively, democracy just can't resist the way it used to. Because even with HUAC, you know, when people were having their visas taken away, intellectuals and their passports, and they were losing their jobs, they weren't being tortured. They weren't being locked in solitary confinement for 3 years. And that changes everything. I would be willing to be Lillian Hellman and, you know, risk a lot of job loss and risk, you know, being blacklisted and not tortured. But I have two small children, and the day after I read that someone I identify with, you know, Bill Keller of the New York Times, is, you know, has been named an enemy combatant, I'm not going to have this conversation with you, Brad, because that's the point where I'm too scared. So that's how democracies close down. That's why this is different from other times. That's why we
and what
to
do we do? What do
sorry,
we do? To, no, I was going to say, because I know you got to go. What do we do to stand up and fight back, as you see it, Naomi?
What we need to do is, thank you for asking, is go to AmericanFreedomCampaign.org. This is the democracy movement that we've begun. It's got almost 5 million Americans in it now, and join up. There's a 10-point legislative package that ranges from restore habeas corpus to, roll back warrantless wiretapping. And if we force Congress in our millions to pass that, we can stabilize democracy enough to have the time to get our country back. And really, the other thing you need to do is educate yourself. And this is why I wrote the book in such an accessible way about what the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, how it protects you. Educate your neighbors. And finally, I think we need to, the time has come to drive a movement not only toward impeachment, but toward prosecution.
Spread the word. Make noise. Stop by AmericanFreedomCampaign.org. Thank you, Naomi Wolf. Buy the book, The End of America, Letter of Warning to a Young Patriot, A Citizen's Call to Action. Naomi, thank you for making that call.
Thank you so much, Brad, and thank you all.
You bet. Travel safe. Oh, man. All right. Be scared. Buy the book. The End of America. Okay, well, we got a lot of stuff ahead, but I'm pale. She's done the job. She's scared me. All is not lost, however. As we go out here to commercial break for a second, I want to, this morning on NBC Today Show, we've still got, I wanted to ask about the media and how they have folded and how they have been responsible for allowing this creeping fascism swooshing fascism, whatever you want to call it. Well, you know, I blame them, frankly, for not fighting back, for not covering this. It took the boss this morning, appearing in concert on the Today Show, to get in a few words on NBC that I suspect aren't usually heard. As we move forward here, I want to play this, and guys back at the network up there in San Francisco, you can fade out, go to commercial, whatever you need to when the music comes up, but I want you to hear what he said before he sang a song this morning on NBC's Today Show, Living in the Future. The boss had a few words.
But it's really about what's happening now, right now. It's kind of about how the things that we love about America, cheeseburgers, french fries, the Yankees batting in Boston, the Bill of Rights, V-twin motorcycles, Tim Russert's haircut, trans fats, the Jersey Shore. I thought we love all those things for the way that the women folk love on that loud. That's right. But however, in the past 6 years, we've had to add to the American picture rendition, illegal wiretapping, voter suppression, no habeas corpus, the neglect of our great city, New Orleans, and her people, an attack on the Constitution, and the loss of our best young men and women in a tragic war. And this is a song about things that shouldn't happen here, happening here. And so right now we plan to do something about it. We plan to sing about it. I know it's early, but it's late. So come and join us.
That's the boss on this morning's Today Show. Thank you, Bruce. All right, John Gideon is straight ahead. Going to talk about today's latest voting news. The only way I think we can help turn back the tide. John Gideon's going to be with us momentarily. You're listening to the Progressive News with Brad Friedman sitting in for John Scott on Green 960. Stay with us.
This is John Scott. Thanks for enjoying Brad Friedman filling in for me while we're on vacation. And make sure you visit his tremendous website, bradblog.com. This is Green 960.
Tuesday in November, I took that stroll to cast my ballot at the local poll. The lines were long, but I didn't care. I had water, a hat, and my folding chair. Didn't say a word, sure that my voice would be heard. I hit that button, my vote was sent, but now nobody knows exactly where it went. They lost my vote.
They lost their vote. We're gonna find it, no matter what it takes. One guy finding them every day. John Gideon of VotersUnite.org joins us again with not nearly enough time to talk about all of today's daily voting news update. Oh, John, welcome back to Green 960. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Still fighting a powerless house, but...
Oh, you got no power in your house?
Still no power.
Well, all I can say is good thing it's not election day, and good thing your house is not a precinct.
That's a fact.
Yeah, that's something they never think about, do they, when they talk about these electronic voting machines. The power goes down all the time on these damn things. Anyway, short on time, what you got for us today, John?
I guess the biggest news before the power went down was that in Pennsylvania, my big issue that I was able to sneak in yesterday, but Advanced Voting Solutions has now decided that they just aren't going to send their system through any more certification. They've refused to pay the test lab, and they're just not going to certify their voting system so that it can be used in three Pennsylvania counties, and the counties are still making excuses, talking about how great they like, how much they like the machines, and how great it is working with Advanced Voting Solutions.
And this was a company, AVS. This was a company that was found that the machines didn't work properly. They needed to do some adjustments for an upcoming election, and they couldn't do it, basically, right? In time for the election.
They certainly tried, but when the test lab, iBeta, checked began checking the code. They found 1,946 serious anomalies in the code, reported that back apparently to AVS. AVS immediately decided they weren't going to pay their bill because they didn't get their report that they were expecting to get.
1,946 anomalies in the source code.
Right.
Other than that, it was all fine.
Other than that, it was all fine, and I'm sure that source code was the same code that was used in previous elections on the same machines.
Bless you, sir, for all you do. Sorry we don't have more time, but hey, what you going to do? I know what you're going to do. You're going to go on over to votersunite.org or bradblog.com. As soon as John Gideon's power comes back on, he will give you the full scoop in today's daily voting news as ever. Thank you, John. All right, moving ahead, we're going to have a Green News update in the next hour, and oh, so much more. You're listening to Progressive News on Green 960.